If you have your Bibles this morning, you would find two passages of Scripture. One is at the very tail end of the Old Testament. That would be the book of Malachi. Once you find the book of Malachi, if you would then find the book of 2 Corinthians. Malachi is the very last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew. 2 Corinthians is right after 1 Corinthians. That should help you find it in the New Testament. If you do not have a Bible, there's one located in the pew in front of you. Maybe somebody will notice you don't have one. They'll hand it to you. They do it because they love you. And they want you to have a scripture this morning. Feel free to use it. And we want you to be able to see what is preached and that comes from the Word of God. I want to preach a message today titled, Yes, Your Honor, We Have Proof. Yes, Your Honor, We Have Proof. Now, I know we have some former and current lawyers in our congregation today. These words ring true to you. I want the whole church to know that I've never had to show up in a court of law to give proof of any crime that I have not committed. I want to preach a message today. Yes, Your Honor, we have proof. We're beginning our missions month. Very, very important month in the process and in the future of Plantation Baptist Church. This is not anything new to anybody who's been attending for some time. Every year, we take the month of September and we stop and focus on missions. That's foreign missions, work that's going on across the seas. And we take time to give attention to that. We take time to submit ourselves to that. And we take time to see what God would have us to do as a church in reaching these souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's many different ways that the local New Testament church can partner with our missionaries. Of course, the very first way is the area of prayer, the area of lifting them before the throne of grace and protection, seeing that their needs are met, joining them and caring for them and interceding for them. Another way that we do partner with missionaries around the world, and I do believe keep in principle with the Word of God, is through our missionary giving. We participate here in Faith Promise Missionary Giving. It's a way that we send money to our missionaries. It's what I do believe, a biblical plan of giving, and it's my endeavor today to show that to you, and I hope and pray. I would like to say one word before we get started to those of you who are visiting with us. If you're visiting with us today, you're our guest, not preaching to you or at you. I'm preaching what I believe that God has for our church. God brought you here. It's not a coincidence you're here. So something in the message is for you. But do not think that this is a church that just preaches for money. We really don't need money. I know the deacons don't want me to say that. And I even cringe that I'm saying that myself now that I think about it. But we are cared for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know he's never let us down one time. Not one time. So I don't stand here this morning, preach because we need money. I had somebody ask me the other day, a couple people, Pastor, our bank checks aren't clearing till the end of the week, sometimes next week. And I said, okay. They said, well, don't you run to the bank Monday morning and deposit the offering? Hey, let me tell you something. I don't have to run to the bank and deposit the money. God's cared for us. And so sometimes I let it sit there because I'm tired. I don't want to go to the bank. I got to drive all the way up there to our bank, and they're good people. But, hey, I thank God that we don't have to rush out and worry about finances here. Our God hath provided. And so if you're visiting with us today, know that this is exciting for us. We don't sit here with a dismal outlook. We're encouraged to what God is doing to enlarge us personally and to enlarge us corporately, and to enlarge our finances, and to enlarge our vision. And man, it's just thrilling. And so I have a responsibility today that I endeavor to do. My responsibility as the pastor of this church is to be very instructive this morning. Now, instructive messages are not easy messages preached because you don't listen very easily to them. If I get all excited and spit and holler and do all that kind of, I can at least wake you up. But I believe as the pastor of Plantation Baptist Church, my responsibility is to chart the course as God leads us. And so I'm preaching today an instructive message on faith promise missionary giving. This is so you understand where we are going. I leave it up to Brother Santoso and the other missionaries that will come throughout. I don't even get a chance to preach to you again until the end of the month. So you're going to get a whole lot in a little bit of time. Don't get scared, okay? And their job will come and to be visionary. It's his responsibility to present to us the field. It's his responsibility to present to us vision of New Zealand, to show us what God has laid on his heart and the work there. And the other men that come, they'll do that. My responsibility is to make sure that the flock is grounded upon the word of God. And so that's what I endeavor to do this morning. And I believe that's what God would have us to do. Now, whenever you begin to preach on finances, people get nervous. I don't want you to be nervous today. I don't want you to break out into a sweat, and I don't want you to start fanning yourselves, and you don't have to sit there and hold your wallet. You're okay. You're going to be fine. That's what the dentist told me right before he shot me in the roof of my mouth and about came unglued. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, hey, I preach to you because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I'm going to tell you something right now. I never will apologize for what's in the book, ever, period. One day when I stand before God, God's going to say, Tom, I entrusted you there, and I wanted you to speak the whole counsel of the word of God. And so I come today to preach the entire counsel of the word of God, unapologetic. But I do it to that fruit may abound to your account, that you will be enlarged and that you will receive truth and that you will go forward and watch God do great things in your own heart, in your own ministry, and in your own life. And so I don't want you to be nervous. I think we accomplished that. Even though you're going to hear today words about finance and words about offering, really, I'm going to preach today a message on the proof of love. The proof of love. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8? I'd like to show you the premise, really and truthfully, for what I'm going to speak on. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 is the beginning chapter on faith promise missionary giving. It is brought to the church by the great apostle, the Apostle Paul. Really and truthfully, and founder of most of these churches, and a man that understood the local New Testament church, a man that God used to pen the words of God to us, just a marvelous man. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, he picks up on where we want to go. It really carries through chapter number 9, chapter number 10. He really touched on it in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, which we'll get to in just a moment. But he writes to us in verse number 8, I really believe his heart. He says, now, church at Corinth, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. And I'm teaching you this, basically is what he's saying at the end of verse 8, to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, he's writing this to this church, and he's writing to them in the area of caring for other churches, especially those at Jerusalem. It was the Apostle Paul, if you were to go, and you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 24, Galatians chapter 2, Romans chapter 15, you will see that the Apostle Paul leads these churches to take up missionary offerings so that he can give to these other churches and he can take and meet the needs that they have and further the work. And he's leading the Macedonian churches, the church at Corinth, and others down this path. And really he's saying, listen, this offering is a sign of your love. They say, well, Pastor, I love the Lord. I bet if I was to ask everybody here if you love the Lord, you would say, yes, I do. But understand this, according to the scripture, we love the Lord only as much as we love people. He said, you cannot hate your brother and say you love the Lord, for the measurement of our love to the Lord is measured in our love for people. And so Paul is saying, I'm leading you to love others, to love other saints, to love other souls that need to be saved, and I want you to take an offering that proves the sincerity of your love, that I may take it to these people. That's how we were introduced to Faith Promise missionary giving. And our finances do, and our financial giving do prove the sincerity of our love. Now, would you look at verse number 8? That phrase, the sincerity of your love. Let me talk to you about a couple of words in there. Number one, the word love. If you study that, it's the word agape. It is not a love for your brother. It's not the erotic love between a man and a woman. It is the love of God. Now, understand this. None of us were born with the love of God. The love of God came when we were born again. And so Paul says, I'm writing to you to prove the sincerity. Now, this word sincerity is remarkable. It really talks about the legitimacy. It carries with it the idea of a birthday. Now watch, he's saying, I want to know that the agape love of God has been birthed into your heart by the person of Christ, and the proof of that is in your desire to financially give and help others. You say, well, Pastor, then does that mean we're judged on amount? No, we're not judged on amount. And let it be said of Plantation Baptist Church, we are not a respecter of persons between wealth and non-wealth. Amen? We're not going to treat anybody different here. If you're a millionaire or you're not a millionaire, our hope and our prayers, when you enter those doors, if you know Christ, you're in a body of believers. And if you don't know Christ, then let's take those that have the greatest need and put them on the front row, and those who don't, let's just go ahead and seat them in the back if we want to. But let's show honor to all men. And you say, well, it's not based on amount. Look at chapter 8, verse number 12. I'm laying a lot of groundwork, but this is the Faith Promise missionary offering. I'm getting ready to really bring you to a point of understanding. Look at verse number 12 of that same chapter. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality. Inequality, what is he trying to say? Faith Promise missionary giving is the proof of the sincerity that the love of God's been birthed in my heart by the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not measured in amount, it's measured in the willingness of our mind. So you don't have to come and say, well, I can only give $10 or I can give $100. It doesn't matter. If our heart's pure before God, the reward's the same in the willingness of the mind. You say, well, Pastor, I tithe. Is that what we're talking about here, Pastor? I tithe. Now get this. This is not what Missions Month is about. Missions Month is not about tithing. Remarkable. You say, well, wait a minute. You mean there's more maybe that God wants than 10%? Well, yes, there is. That I still have you? If you're with me, say amen. Okay, all right. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you find the word prove the sincerity of your love. Flip to Malachi chapter number 3. In Malachi chapter number 3, the verse needs no introduction. It's the 10th verse. It's very familiar. Malachi, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and what? What's the word? Prove me now herewith. So I find the word prove in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, and I found the word prove in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse number 8. What are you saying, Pastor? Here is the difference. The tithe proves God. That's what he said. Faith Promise missionary giving proves me. So I tithe because God said that I'm to do it, and I'm proving him. And I give to Faith Promise missionaries to prove that the Spirit of God has birthed the love of God in my heart. So there's proof on both sides. You say, Pastor, how do they differ? How does that differ? Well, let me talk to you just a minute about the tithe. You must understand this. First question is this. I know you're thinking, Pastor, I didn't think tithing was mentioned for the New Testament church. Let me explain something to you. Yes, tithing is in the scripture for the New Testament church. And God's people said, amen. Tithing was instituted before the law. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. It's carried all the way through during the law. There was even more tithe required. Under grace in Hebrews chapter 7, we find that the Lord is still receiving the tithe. To say that the tithe is not for the New Testament is to deny the Word of God. We'll say, well, Pastor, it's my money. No, according to Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30, the tithe is the Lord's. Now watch this, because this is remarkable. Well, how much is the tithe? According to Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 2, it's 10% of our income. 10% of what you were financially blessed this week does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. It's the tithe. That's why he said, bring the tithe. That's why I will never ask you to give the tithe. You can't give that which does not belong to you. Watch how this goes. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 2, you'll find that. But we take that 10% and we got to understand that belongs to God. Let me help you a little bit. When you get your paycheck, and I get my paycheck according to the Bible, and we're guilty of this, we plan our style of living with 100% of what we've gathered, and that's not biblically correct. We should, if people say we live above our means, if we're above 90%, we're above our means. Because when you and I work 40 hours a week and we get a check, we only are allowed to substantiate 90% of that. 10% doesn't belong to me. And so if I figure out my budget and all of that and I incorporate that 10% that doesn't belong to me, I've incorporated God's money. And so if we would stop and start filling out our budgets at 90%, we would be biblically on track. You say, well, Pastor, why do you say all that? Because I want to be very kind here, but we have a lot of conscience soothing. Okay, here's what conscience soothing is. Sometimes the offering plate goes by and we'll take money and we'll put it in and we'll mark it for missions or we'll mark it for something else, but it's less than 10% of my income. And we kind of soothe our consciences and we walk out and we say, well, I gave. No, we stole. We stole. We can't walk out thinking I pleased God. I robbed God. Well, Pastor, I would never rob God. I love God. Well, if we take that less than 10% and we just tip him in the offering plate and say, put that wherever you want to, God, but 10% belongs to him, and we try to soothe our conscience along those lines. So we got to be very careful. And when we move toward faith promise missionary giving, it doesn't start with the tithe. It starts after the tithe, and it's an offering to go forward to others. You say, that cannot be in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I wouldn't preach it if it wasn't in the Bible. All right? Well, Pastor, what is the tithe used for? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, you will find that the tithe, the 10%, is used to care for the church. Now, in the Old Testament, when they had the temple, the tithe was used for the Levites. They used it for other things, but that 10% was cared for the work here. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, he ties that over and says, matter of fact, I want to read that to you. That's an important verse. Let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen. He says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? That was in the Old Testament. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so, that's the transitional statement from old to new. That's the transitional statement from law to grace. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Our tithes, the tithes that we bring, they go to care for the work. Now get this, listen. I said this in Sunday school and I'll say it again. God has wealth. And the way God gets his wealth into his work is through his people. Now, let me give you proof. We started some renovations around here. I came to the church and I said, it's going to cost us $40,000 to do these renovations. We got that in savings. We could take $40,000 out, not skip one beat. Bam, there we go. But God didn't give me freedom to do that. And so I went to God and I said, now God, it's going to do nothing for our people if we just reach in there and pull 40 grand out. What will do something for our people is if you prove you're God. And so let me tell you what God has done. Not one penny out of savings to pay $40,000. Where'd it come from, Pastor? It came from the tithes of God's people. What are you saying? I'm saying where God guides, God does provide. And so the tithe is the Lord's, and it's to be brought to the church. It's to be used for the ministry of the church. It's not mine. I can't tip God. I can only steal that. And it's used to be for the work of the ministry. And you want to know something? Our God is able to provide. Amen? All right. So now that's the tithe. Please understand, that's separate. I'm not talking about that. Don't reach into your tithe and say, well, I'm going to give half the missionaries. We can't do that. It would be rather better, is that correct English? That's horrible English. It would be better to take $1, give God, if your tithe is $5, don't split it and give $2.50 to missions, $2.50 to God. Give God what's God's. Put $1 in the plate for missionary giving. You say, well, what will God do with $1? That's irrelevant. It's what God will do in your heart for obedience. Okay, so don't split that. It's instructive. I know it's instructive, and I know it's difficult, but I'm telling you, it's the word of God, all right? So that's the tithe. Now we come to faith promise. It is an offering of love to be sent out of the church to and for missionary work. You say, well, Pastor, that's an awful lot. What's in it for me? That's a proper question. That's not unspiritual, what's in it for you. God answers that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Would you look at that? Look at verse number 6. I want you to see what's in it for you. He says this, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So if you want to reap sparingly or sow sparingly a little, fine. You'll sow a little, fine. At least there was sowing, there was reaping. If you want to sow a lot, then you're going to reap a lot. That's fine. Verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful. You could write the word hilarious giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, that I can trust God with my money a lot more than I can trust Bank of America. And forgive me, you employees of Bank of America, okay? Yeah, I can go put it. I saw a 7-month CD rate, 5.7, something like that the other day. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with investments. I have investments. There's nothing wrong with savings. I have savings. There's nothing wrong with those things. But there is something wrong in not trusting God with an offering of love. Okay? Now, faith promise missionary giving is remarkable. And Paul goes through now in 2 Corinthians, actually find 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here's my message. All that was introduction. My message is literally 7-8 minutes. I'll fly through it. Don't believe that. I'm lying. Paul tells us about this offering in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, what you need to understand is 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 were written 1 year apart. 1 year apart. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul introduces this church at Corinth to faith promise missionary giving, to an offering for other churches, for the Jerusalem saints. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he picks back up on it because you remember he had to send Titus into this church because there was a mess of a lot of problems. And so Titus goes in there and he by the power of God works in this church. There's great repentance there. There's great humbling there. The church catches fire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now when Titus comes and tells Paul this in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes the book and sends it back to Titus back to Corinth to challenge them not to forget what they had done a year ago. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Now right here, you'll know that this is a different offering than the tithe, because the tithe was used to care for the temple. The tithe is used to be cared for the church. This offering is going to other people. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, I want you to notice a couple things about this verse, and I want you to know five things about faith promise offering. Number one, we find a distinction here, a distinction. Here is the distinction of faith promise missionary giving. A, it's not haphazard, and B, it's not high pressured. Well, Pastor, I feel high pressured right now. Well, I understand that. You're learning right now. Paul writes to this church, and he tells them, listen, upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay in store of him as God hath prospered him. Paul's saying that this offering is methodical, it's systematical, it's not flippant, it's not, well, I got 20 extra dollars this week, so I'll give this. It's planned giving. It's something where I pray, God gives me a direction, and I plan it on a weekly basis. There's nothing haphazard about it. Then he said in verse number 2, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul could have come and put immense pressure on those people. I mean immense pressure on them, but he didn't want to pressure them. He wanted them to not feel that. He wanted them to give out of a heart of love. I'm not pressuring you to give more money. I really could care less. I'm pressuring you to be obedient to the word of God. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7. I want you to see. Here's what, there's no pressure here. I read this verse to you. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Paul says, there's no matter of factness here. You pray with God. You go to God. God will purpose in your heart what's desired. The purpose will not be grudgingly or of necessity. It will be an offering of love. There's no love and pressure. There's no love and pressure, but there's love and grace. Oh, there's great love and grace. All right, so the distinction is that you don't need to feel pressure. You go to God and say, God, I believe you desire for us to give to Faith Promise Missionary Offering. I see that in the word. What do you want? I have no idea. I'm not up here measuring that. That's between you and him. Number two, the offering is, do you find the definition in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? I want you to see the definition of this offering. It's remarkable. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Go to verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Well, what grace, Pastor? The grace of giving. You see, the church was going forward in faith and utterance. They were growing. And Paul says, you need to add this grace to your growth. And the definition of faith promise offering is that it's an offering of grace. It behooves me to think and reminds me of how much I owe to God. For by grace are we saved. People say, well, grace is just undeserved favor. It means I just didn't deserve it here, but God gave it to me. My friend, that is a horrendous definition of grace. Grace defined is this: I deserve hell, and there's nothing good in me, but God in his mercy reached down and spared. See, grace is the total annihilation of anything that is worthy of self. And the hand of God was so gracious to me. Drop down to verse number 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul makes application here. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so grace has been extended to us, and now grace is to be extended from us. It's an offering defined by grace. Look at the depth of the offering. Verse number 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, there were three churches that I know of in Macedonia: Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. All of these churches were in the great trial of affliction. All of these churches we would consider to be in deep poverty. Yet, the abundance of their joy abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, here's why it's called Faith Promise Missionary Offering. It is an offering that's led by God. It's not necessarily an offering that I can afford, because in our situation, money may be tight and there may be abundance of affliction. But I'm going to tell you something. There is joy in giving in the midst of affliction. You can give a guy $5 if you got $100 in your pocket and you'll feel okay. Give the guy the whole $100 and you'll walk on air or walk on water. You see, in the depth of their poverty, the riches of their liberality abounded, and it was the joy of God. I mean, grace, when it does a work in the heart of a man, does a deep work. You say, well, Pastor, I could never do that. Well, we need dynamic power. Verse number 3, watch dynamic power. And I'm going to hit you a good thought here. Paul says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now watch this. Here is the joy of giving. Here is the power of giving. It is wrong, not biblically, to take your checkbook and write a faith promise offering that you can afford. Stay with me. Don't run out the building. It's equally wrong to take your checkbook and write a faith promise offering you can't afford. Okay, we think, well, I'll get over here and I can give $10 a week and won't hurt anything, so here's $10 a week. Well, some people think, well, I'm supposed to be poor and I'm supposed to be hurting in this offering, so I can't really afford it, but I'll write a $1,000 check, and God will do that. You know what God's going to let you do if you do that? He's going to let your lights be shut down and your water be shut off, and you're going to be knocking on my door saying, Pastor, what in the world happened? And I'm going to say, you didn't listen, okay? It's not where I'm making an assumption on my affordability or on sacrifice. It is the fact that I wait for God to lead me. Okay? So I'm not pressuring you to go out here and write something you can afford, and I'm not pressuring you to go out and write something you can't afford. I want you to be brought to a position where you just say, Heavenly Father, I want the sincerity of my love to be proved. I want souls to be saved, and I want to be used in any capacity. So show me what you'd have for me to do. And if whatever that is, that's proper. Sometimes we get people write these checks for $10,000 thinking they're going to get the blessing of God, and they can't feed their family, and they think, well, God let me down. No, we wrote a check in pride, not leadership. Okay, we wrote a check in pride, not leadership. Well, we go over here, and we write a check in covetousness, and we wonder what happened. God said, you made the decision. I had nothing to do with it, right? Do we understand the balance? If you do, say amen. Okay. All right, so it's a dynamic power. It's revelation giving. Well, Pastor, how will I know what God wants of me in the area of missions? Oh, that's a great question. The answer to that question is found in the peace of God. It's found in the peace of God. There is a peace of God that passeth all understanding. And when I'm on my knees praying as to what God would have me to do in worldwide missions, then God brings something to me. Normally, it's a faith that it's only attainable by faith. And yet the peace of God doesn't work in my heart. Watch this. Look at verse number 5. Look at this divine principle that they use. This they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, then unto us by the will of God. What do you mean, Pastor? The principle in faith promise giving is not money first, it's heart first. See where the enemy's going to eat your lunch with me in Plantation Baptist Church? Is he's going to get you to think, we want your money. I don't want your money. And God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Your heart. They gave themselves to the Lord in their poverty. They gave themselves to the Lord. And The Bible teaches that we begin with what we have, and it's not held against us what we don't have. So I'm going to tell you something right now. The Philippian offering was not a massive offering. It was a very dinky little offering, but it was an offering led in the heart by the Spirit of God, and God blessed that offering, and God began to enlarge them. So don't think financial substance. Think, I give myself to God, and God will present to me what God wants to do through me. That's faith promise, missionary offering. It's a divine principle. Well, Pastor, if we're going to do all this, there must be a direction. That's found in verse number 4, a determined purpose. Here it is. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, the little offering, and take on us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. That means that this church, after submitting themselves to God, each person laid in store an offering. They gave that offering to the church leader. The church leaders had to beg, that's what it means, beg the apostles to receive the offering so that they would take the offering and minister to those saints. That is how great these people love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to know something. A supernatural power of God comes on a man when he submits himself totally in the area of finances for the leadership of God. When we start budgeting God, we limit him. You say, well, I can't live without a budget, Pastor. Well, sure, you got a budget to pay your lights, and you got to pay this, you got to do this. But when it comes to God, you fall on your face before him and say, God, it all belongs to you. God, here's my whole heart. God, whatever you want from me, God, lead me in that direction. And you will find that God will begin to move, and God will begin to give you courage. And if you'll receive and go forward, and not in some fantastic amount, but in God has, you'll begin to be enlarged. You say, Pastor, is there any more for me? Yeah, Philippians chapter 4. Let me close the deal for you. Philippians chapter 4, look at this. This is this little church. This was this little poverty church. This was this little church that gave themselves to God and then began to give to the missionary, and they gave what they had, and God blessed it, and God encouraged them, and God lifted them. And later, when Paul's in jail and Paul's about to be beheaded down the road, you read these words in verse number 14 of chapter number 4. Notwithstanding, little church, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18, he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He says, I received it. And I want you to know that God saw it. And I want you to know it blessed my soul. And he writes in verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is a marvelous verse. Every one of us wants to apply that verse to our lives, but that verse was written to a missionary giving church. Well, what if I don't give the faith promise missionary giving? Well, if you tithe, you can prove God, and God said he'd open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But faith promise missionary giving opens up the hands of men, and God uses them to supply all your need. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, Pastor. Yes, he did. There will be food, clothing, and shelter. Those things will be added unto you. But when you come over here to Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, everything you need shall be supplied by God. That is remarkable. That is remarkable. Faith promise missionary offering. Now, that's what the month of September is all about. It's what are you and I, as individuals, going to give on a weekly basis to see souls saved around the world. Understand this. Satan has some desires this morning, and I'm done. Please stay with me. I don't get to preach to you again a long time. Number one, he is going to try to absolutely rip you apart with the tithe. He's going to try to shred your thought process toward God. He's going to try to get you to leave, never come back. He's going to try to get you to doubt the goodness of God. He's going to try to get everything he can for you to despise that which belongs to God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It is the Lord's. Yes. And the second thing he's going to try to get us to do is he's going to try to get us again to just go by our own philosophies. Well, I'll just give this I can afford. Or I'm just going to come over here and give a bunch because I want people to know what I'm going to do. That's not faith promise missionary offering. It's I give myself to the Lord. God, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to do through me to reach souls around the world? God will begin to do a work. And as God works through me, God will meet my every need and enlarge me to the glory of God. You say, Pastor, does that really work? If you know it to work in the room, say amen. 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 I could stand us up from here all the way around the room and tell you what God did in our lives. What God did in our lives is remarkable. There's where we're headed, church. Right now, our missionary giving is so phenomenal, it is out of this world. We had thousands of dollars come in the mail this week for missions. In the mail! We got money pouring into this church. Well, because we got money pouring out of this church. Get involved. We don't need your money, but I want you to be enlarged. I want fruit to abound to your account. Oh, my God. One day we'll see him face to face. Who are you? Well, I'm so-and-so. Well, where'd you come from? Well, I came from New Zealand. Well, what do you mean you came from New Zealand? Well, you gave money, and Irwin went over there and won me to Christ. Glory be to God Almighty. Shall we pray?